This afternoon we're continuing to study things that are better, or as we studied this morning, comparatively speaking. That is, comparing one thing to another, there is something of those two that is better. We studied this morning from the book of Psalms, but there are many of these in the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at some this morning, and then, or rather this afternoon, and perhaps some next Sunday morning to finish our study, and then we'll look at things that are in the book of Ecclesiastes that say that one thing is better than another. And I guess what we're looking at is people who've lived, people who've studied God's Word. They've had experiences, and as they read the Bible, as they interpret their own life, and as they look at things that have been a help to them or been a hindrance to them, these proverbs are spoken. They're really a collection of things that reflect wisdom. Sometimes they're referred to as the wisdom literature or wise sayings. So there are things that are based upon human wisdom. There are things that are based upon divine revelation. And what you might say, they're just things that work. We're always talking about we need something practical, and by that we mean something that works. Sound advice, good instruction, principles to live by, secrets to success. Things are called by many names, but I think you can reduce them to about the same thing. So I said I wanted to do something this afternoon that we've not done, and I want you to help me. So I hope you have your Bible. I hope you will open it, and I won't just, you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'd like for you to help me by reading Scripture. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 14. Now this is informal this evening, so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 14, which has to do with merchandise. Who would read that verse of Scripture this evening?
For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, being thereof
divine gold. Thank you, Brother Goodwin. The merchandise of it, that's something, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Again, we ask ourselves the question, what or why? Here we're asking the question, what? What is it that the product of it, and that's what we mean by merchandise, is the product. What is it that the product of it is better than the product of silver, and the gain that you would get from it more valuable than fine gold? Well, it's verse 13, just the verse above it. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. So, wisdom and understanding are better in what they produce than what fine gold produces. What is it that wisdom and understanding produces? Look at verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, that is, wisdom. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Think of it. Here is something that produces things that are beyond compare. That is, they are so far beyond our expectations that we cannot even compare them. It's the things that Paul speaks of when he says that there are things have been indescribable from the viewpoint of what God has reserved for his people, beyond the description of men, of God's love being an unspeakable love. So this is what the writer is saying in this scripture. But let's look further. What is the product of wisdom and understanding? Verse 16 tells us length of days. Length of days. You want to live longer? Then live according to the dictates of wisdom. Live according to the teachings of wisdom. And wisdom would teach us to abstain from many things and to participate in many things, would it not? So that is not an empty promise. Length of days is in her hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So it's not a choice between being poor and wise or being rich and foolish. He is saying that wisdom and knowledge or understanding can not only produce length of days, but wisdom is capable. When it says that it's in her hand, it means she is capable of bestowing also riches and honor. In her ways are ways of pleasantness. I think all of us like to experience pleasant things. And in the way of wisdom, there is pleasantness of life, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Now notice, and happy is every one that retaineth her or uses the wisdom that is contained or uses the principles that are contained in wisdom. Let's look again. For the product of wisdom is better than the product of silver. Wisdom can produce more things that accrue to our happiness than can silver or than can gold. Gain produced through wisdom and understanding is far more enduring than fine gold. So, merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver. Let's look now at Proverbs 12. And 9. And ladies are invited to participate in our service this afternoon. Proverbs 12:9 begins with, "He that is despised." Someone read it for me. Okay, that is a little more difficult. It is not quite so obvious. And of course, the reason it's not quite so obvious is because of its peculiar construction and the fact that it's using the word despised as a synonym for the poor. Okay? So let's read it after we've inserted that and rearranged it just a little bit. Proverbs 12:9. Better is the poor man. You remember this morning I told you that if the Bible uses the word despised, he's talking about anybody that's poor is considered to be despised of God. Because if they were loved by God, they would obviously be rich. So poverty was interpreted that way. Misinterpreted, surely, but interpreted that way. Better is the poor or despised man who provides for himself than the proud who is destitute. You mean there are people who are too proud to work? Well, Jesus spoke a parable, and I don't think that this was necessarily the parable that he spoke, just to look at it in Luke, the 16th chapter. And the very first verse, he speaks of an unjust steward. And here in verse 3 of chapter 16 is what the unjust steward said when he found out that he would be put out of his stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. Which literally says the man was too proud to work. There's nothing wrong with him. He just simply said, I cannot dig. I can't go into manual labor. I can't be seen along the roadsides or in the farms digging or digging to irrigate the vines and the trees. I am too important to be seen doing this kind of stuff. and I sure am too important to beg, so he creates a circumstance of deceit and fraud. Now, is it better to work than to let one's pride stand in the way of honest labor? The answer is yes. Wouldn't this be good put on national television? That honest labor is better than not working because of pride. That it is better. Who's it better for? It's better for the person. Now, we've got the idea some way, somehow in our society today that work is it's degrading, and it also destroys your health. You know, if you work, you're finally going to wind up old and broke down. Well, if you don't work, you're going to wind up not old and dead. You remember the lady that died in Texas, 118 years old, and she said the secret of her longevity was hard work? And that's usually the case. Have you ever noticed that? Mom died when she was 92, practically, and I don't know. She worked hard. I mean, hard, grinding labor. So did Grandmother Goodwin. These were people who knew hard labor, and yet they lived very healthy, long lives. So to work is better than to scheme to get out of work simply because of the health benefit that's built into it, not to say anything about what we call self-esteem today or pride in oneself. I think we've come to realize that our society has been terribly diminished by the welfare system. Not only is it expensive, does it cost a lot of money, but it destroys the people who are involved in it, who are simply defrauding our government by faking illnesses or whatever process they may use to get into the system and have a place at the trough. I think you can say that people who manipulate, who misrepresent, and who set out to practice fraud so they don't have to work are miserable people. Now, they may appear to live a very carefree life, but how could you ever find any satisfaction? How could you ever be proud to say, this is how I live? How could you ever lie down at night and yet weary, but still have pride in who you are and what you've done, in what you've created with your hands, and in the good job that you've done? That feeling certainly would never come to you. So, it is better to work than it is to let your pride drive you from the workforce. Now, I've sort of assigned this next one, Proverbs 15:16, so that we could have a little more participation in our service this evening. So I'm going to ask for the person I asked to read Proverbs 15:16 to do that for me now. Would you do that? Okay. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Is it worth all the trouble? Look at it. Better is little, and at the same time, have your life be guided by the information and the fear of the Lord. We're not talking about phobia in the sense of hiding during thunderstorms and things like that. And we're talking about reverential respect for God. It is better to have reverential respect with God and not have a great deal than to have a great treasure and have trouble all the time. Now, sometimes we look at a project and we say, well, it would be nice, but it's not worth the trouble. Now, that's not exactly what this proverb is saying. What it's saying is that in the getting of great treasure, we have to consider how much harm is going to be involved and how much trouble it causes other people and us. It's not how much hard work is involved. It's not how much expense is involved. It is how much anger, resentment, it is how much grief we stir up in the doing of it. And really what he's saying is that when we consider choices, that we would make a better choice if we would choose little and at the same time retain our reverential respect for God, than to throw caution to the wind and cause a lot of grief and a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. In other words, some things are literally not worth the trouble they cause, even though they may generate a great deal, and it may be a great deal of wealth, it may be a great deal of attention. It is simply not worth the trouble. And verse 17, we got another one right there. Anybody want to read it? Okay. Kind of archaic language. Better is a dinner of vegetables eaten with people we love and who love us than to have T-bone steak that's been carved from a animal that has been put up and fattened. That's what stalled ox is. It means an ox that was put in a stall and then fattened. It's not exercised, so this is a very tender animal from the viewpoint of eating, than to have T-bone steak and be seated at the table where hatred is present. Better. Better than what? Well, T-bone steak is not wrong. I mean, it's not evil. It doesn't even have the appearance of evil. So we're not talking about that its vegetables are better than beefsteak. That's not the issue. What we're talking about is better love is better than hate. And love is so much better than hate. Now here's the comparison. Love is so much better than hate that you could be better off to sit down with some turnip greens than to sit where there is love. Love has prepared it, love has provided it, and it's eaten in love, than to sit down to a table of T-bone steak where people are angry and filled with hate. Anybody want to disagree with that? Now, you may not like turnip greens. I realize that's sort of... Broccoli. Just vegetables. Very simple things. And I think what he's talking about are the simple things that can actually be gathered in the fence rows. Don't cost anything. The cheapest food there is. You don't have to go to a supermarket. You don't even have to raise it. It's the stuff that's gathered in the fence rows and in the forest. And love and hatred are so far apart, and one is so much better than the other, that it'd be better to gather poke salad. Now, Brother Goodwin loves the stuff. He'd take it before he would a poke, before he would a steak, you know. Some of you don't either, okay, so you can understand it. Just be better to go out and gather, have some poke salad with a wife who loved you, the wife who provided it. She loved you. You went out and got it. You love her. Sit down at a simple table. Better meal than beefsteak, porterhouse, T-bone, filet mignon. Better than sharing that meal between two people who hate each other. Is that true? I think so, don't you? Yeah, it's true. So this, you know, you say, well, where did all this stuff come from? It comes from human experience. It comes out of the revelation of God. It's the most practical quote advice you can ever get. You want somebody to give you good advice about things? I mean, it just literally don't preach, and yet they don't take a lot of words. God's word is literally filled with this kind of information. Well, we'll do one more. Proverbs 16 and 8. About the same thing. Somebody read for me. See, this helps you stay awake because you're afraid I'm going to call your name, okay? Okay, we know what righteousness is. That's just being a good, that's doing what's right. Revenue. Hey, that's money. Produce. And what's right? Well, that's the opposite of being righteous. Let's look at it. And the bottom line of it is, right is always better than wrong. Are great revenues wrong? No, it's not wrong to make money. But righteousness, that is to retain one's integrity. To do things without lying. To do things without deception. To do things without stealing. Better is a little. And I think you can say this with a clear conscience. That is, it's better to have a little and to know that what you have, you've earned by hard work, integrity, uprightness, and honesty, plus possessing the righteousness of God through Christ, is better than great revenues, ever how they're obtained, if you do it in a way that's not right, without right thinking, right doing, right relationships. Again, shortcuts, not doing it right. What's better? Well, right's always better than wrong. I don't care what the initial or short-term benefits are. Right is always better than wrong. Now let me show you something. Even the most liberal, humanistic people in America are telling us we have a moral dilemma. President Clinton has even said we have problems with morals. There's a moral rot. There's a lack of doing what's right. You know, I'm going to be so bold as to say that the reason there's been a diminishing in what we would call doing right is because we've not taught doing right. And I'm not talking about just in the school system, but I'm talking about these used to be important principles in the home, Brother Goodwin. These used to be important principles in the school. In the one-room school, whatever, this stuff was taught by the teacher. Not necessarily quoted from the book of Proverbs, although it wasn't unheard of at all, but the idea that you do right because right is good, you do right because right is better, you do right because you're going to be happier, all of these things are moral foundations. Now, without them, you say, but children don't learn. Of course they learn. You say, but these things are just theological affirmations and they don't have anything to do with real life. No, they have everything to do with real life. Our people would be better off if there was a moral foundation based upon just these principles we've talked about today in this church that hard work is better than loafing, that honesty is better than lies, that doing right is better than doing wrong, that love is better than hate, that wisdom and understanding is better than ignorance and lack of knowledge. These are not just philosophical principles, they are divine truths that spring from the very mind and heart of God Himself. These are the things we ought to teach at the supper table. They're the things we ought to teach at night to our children. These are the things that form children into being moral and ethical persons. Grandfathers ought to teach it, and grandmothers and mothers and fathers ought to teach these constantly. I think maybe they're right when we say there's been a great lack of this.